Shalom, everyone. I will read on the fourth seal, the seal of the day, surrendering in submission. I will start with SS1, Tablet 4, the prerequisites of spiritual life. The prerequisites of spiritual life are physical health, mental equilibrium, simple life, and spiritual cleanliness, spiritual environment. A. Physical health is possible only when a person lives in an environment where the seven basic necessities for a strong physical body are provided. 1. Fresh air, which is the number one must. It is the most essential physical necessity. Even the greatest yogis cannot live without prana, which can be found in clean, fresh air. 2. Sunshine. The second must in order to gain the freshest life energies from the sun and build strong bones and a healthy physical body. 3. Good food. Sentient, fresh, and balanced food to be used by the body to create strong cells. The sun also helps food to be digested properly. Food is the most beneficial when it is cooked with a joyful group and is eaten with the same joy by the group. 4. Pure water, which not only gives much prana to the person, but also provides the essential fluid and moisture for the body, many essential minerals, and prevents many diseases. 5. Good rest, especially when done in fresh air, will provide happiness, joy, and contentment, which all are very necessary for good health. 6. Exercise and exercise to stimulate the circulation and provide the body and brain with more blood, ease the work of the heart, and provide relaxation and health, and also exercise yoga postures, which mostly work on the glands and spirit rather than the muscles. 7. Concentration and the use on the power of the mind. This will help a person to use his or healing power and provide this power more easily for physical stability and health. B. Mental equilibrium. To acquire a simple life to prevent the disturbance of the mind, but not so simple that the person becomes a burden on society. Simple life does not mean escapism, but avoiding those activities which provide much stress with no beneficial results to the person or others, such as games, when they become a show instead of for health purposes. Luxury, too much attachment to the external world, drugs, drinking, smoking, thinking too much about the opposite sex, putting material gain prior to spiritual progress, etc. C, number 6, and I think it's the verse 6, spiritual cleanliness. In addition to physical and mental cleanliness, a person has to strive to be spiritually clean. As the body becomes dirty in a few days, the mental aspects of the human also become soiled. Actually, the mind becomes soiled much faster than the body, and even faster than the mind is the spirit that becomes unclean through the mind. So we can see how important these things are. The environment we live, the materials we read, the shows we see, or the people we have as our companions, they all affect our mental and spiritual cleanliness. A spiritual person not only tries to avoid crudifying environments, but eventually he also should be able to stay in the equilibrium of his mind, even in the middle of the worst environment. Otherwise, if he does not become that strong, he will leave the society and go off to the mountains or fall into the grip of Maya as he loses his soul in it. I will continue in SS2, Tablet 12, some points in Islam. Islam comes from the word taslim, which means to be surrendered and or submissive to him. To be surrendered means to do the best we can or to do his will and surrender the result to him. Because his will is not clear to everyone in any moment, his overall plan and will is revealed in the greatest sign, so we try to do our best to do his will. Then, if God wills, inshallah, the action we do will give a great result, but there should be no attachment to the result. There are three principles which are accepted by all Muslims as the basic principles of Islam. They are 1. Tawhid, one God; 2. Nabuwwat, acceptance of prophets sent by God; 3. Mo'ad, day of judgment. Some light will be shed on the meaning of these principles with the following explanations. Tawhid, in its lower meaning, Tawhid means that there is only one God, but it comes from the word Vahdat or Vahed, which means to become one or one. So its greater meaning is that he is everything and all is God. However, this greater meaning is not understood by many. This is a great truth in spiritual understanding, because if he is everything, then each unit consciousness is a part of him, so the illusion of separation will vanish. Even accepting the first meaning, as there is only one invisible God in the universe, formless, nameless, etc., can unify humanity, because anything else, anything besides the invisible God accepted, will divide humans on earth. Even if God himself comes to the earth and calls himself by a name, the result would be a division between people. Those who followed him would use the name he was given on earth, and those who followed an invisible God would not use that name, or other people would follow the same God with a different name. So the division would start. It is not the will of God to divide humanity from himself, but he wants to see all come back to unity with him and be unified. Through the virtue of this unifying aspect of the invisible God, Allah, Prophet Muhammad unified Arabs and created the kingdom of heaven on earth for a short period of time in a small part of the world. Only he, the nameless, unifies. Any other thing divides. That is why in his Ten Commandments to the Hebrews, God emphasized that they should not have any other gods beside him, and they should not make any image or anything as their object of worship, not even pictures or names. The reason is very clear. It is true that he is everything, and if you look at anything, he is there also. But this apparent division, which is relative, will bring disunity to humanity, especially to those who cannot see the unity between the seen and unseen. Therefore, Tawhid should be followed by everyone in order to bring the unity to all. The other names and images all should be forgotten and thrown away. There is only one God, the rest are dogmas. Nabuwwat. This means acceptance of the prophets and messengers from God as those who have been chosen to bring messages of the Lord to humanity. These prophets should not be taken as God himself, but as his messengers, although they are in complete tune with the Lord and might even be the Father himself. Accepting them as the Lord God will again result in disunity. Indeed, the prophet himself or his miracles are not important, but his teachings are what is important. The teachings are surely from God, regardless of whether the prophet was the Father himself or not. The prophets come with definite signs and fulfill many prophecies about their coming. God does it this way so everyone can be sure that the person who claims to be the expected one is true and chosen. Otherwise, many will come in their name and deceive many. It has been done this way, so only the true one will be recognized by the elects. Mo'ad. This means that there is a last day of judgment when the good people will be separated from the bad. This also will happen. When the original energy, which was generated to create this universe, is consumed, then all will be dissolved into its original form, and those who have reached pure consciousness or higher consciousness will enter heaven, pure consciousness, and those who lagged behind will have to wait until the next generation creation. They will then have to struggle again for crores of years for their salvation, because they have lost the opportunity that was given to them in this creation to reach pure consciousness. That is why this life is an opportunity, especially for humans, to reach pure consciousness. Otherwise, who knows when another chance will be given to them. Also, every day and every moment is the time of judgment, and human actions create karma, the law of action and reaction, or judgment, and man reaps what he sows. Three other concepts in Islam will briefly be explained below. It is believed by Muslims, followers of Islam, that Muhammad was the last prophet. They refer to a verse in the Quran that contains a word which has two different pronunciations, each with a different meaning. It can be pronounced Katem, last, the end, or Katam, the seal. The true meaning of this word has been the subject of dispute for centuries. Some say it is Katem, so Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet. Some say Katam, so he was the seal of the prophets, but they do not give an explanation as to why he was the seal. However, in truth, the word can be pronounced in both ways, and both meanings are correct. Prophet Muhammad brought the highest spiritual realization for humanity, to be surrendered and submissive to the Lord. So there will not be any higher realization humanity. For more detail, read Revelation of the Revelation. So from this point of view, he is the last prophet, the Katim of the prophets. Also, as it has been shown in the greatest sign, the sign of Islam, is at the very top. Therefore, it is the seal in the plan of the Lord, and Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophets, Katam of the prophets. The problem is that the human wants to narrow God's works into one aspect or dimension, but God's words and actions are multidimensional. That is where the misunderstanding starts. You cannot narrow the expanded work of the Lord to the small understanding of man. To know him and his words requires bringing yourself to his expanded level. This endeavor of man to narrow the works of the Lord is another reason for human sufferings. Another concept in Islam is the word jihad, which is loosely translated as holy war. The true meaning of jihad, however, is internal and external struggle to establish truth and holiness. Its meaning is the same as the tone of the Bhagavad Gita with its warrior Arjuna, who should internally and externally struggle and overcome the obstacles toward his perfection. In fact, only those who internally and externally struggle all their lives are the ones who can declare a holy war. Otherwise, holy wars can be misused by those who have narrow interests and manipulate the emotions of the people toward their religions for their own selfish ends. And I will read the next tablet, tablet 13 in SS2. Jihad. Jihad is one of the most misunderstood words in Islam. Jihad comes from jihad, which means struggle to achieve something. Therefore, jihad means struggle. It is said in the writings of Prophet Muhammad that the greatest struggle, jihad, is the struggle of the human within. So, jihad means going from imperfection to perfection. It resembles the word sadhana in Sanskrit, which means struggle. Sadhana also refers to meditation. Jihad also means external struggle, in order to establish the truth over wrongdoings. the kingdom of heaven on earth, Dharma. That is why Prophet Muhammad used this word for the holy wars with the Arab tribes in order to destroy their pagan beliefs and establish his monastic teaching in that land. This external jihad was necessary at that time because of all the opposition by those people whose main source of income was threatened by the Islamic ideology. Mecca, the holy city, was a center of worship for many different beliefs. In that city, countless images and statues were created so that each believer could feel at home when they came there. The very basic tenet of Muhammad's teaching that there is no God but Allah meant the rest of the gods in Mecca were no gods. However, the businessmen of Mecca told Muhammad that he could preach his religion if he did not oppose the images in Mecca. This would enable the merchants from all around the world to come and worship their images in Mecca and spend their money. But he did not accept their proposal, and the light of enmity began between those rich businessmen and Prophet Muhammad. This became so strong that Prophet Muhammad had to leave Mecca and go to Medina. Later on, the fight between Mecca and Medina kindled, and the concept of jihad was revealed to Muhammad as holy wars, the same as war in the Bhagavad Gita. However, its true meaning is internal and external struggle. In the course of time, jihad lost its more important meaning as internal struggle and was used only to mean the duty of each Muslim to take up a weapon and fight the enemy that had attacked Muslims or to be used to destroy disbelievers. Many leaders in Islam lost the truth that external struggle is an impossibility without internal struggle. So jihad means internal and external struggle to perfection, to internally and externally become perfect. This is the same as Christ taught the Pharisees that they should clean the inside and the outside of the cup if they want to have a clean cup. Again, we can see that with misunderstanding, beautiful concepts such as this, great disasters take place. It is not religions that are the source of suffering, but the way they have been interpreted by humanity. I will continue the reading. You can go in the menu Other Literature. Thus Speaks Maitreya on Surrendering and Submission. And I will read the fourth seal. The fourth seal is to surrender the result to the Lord and be completely detached from the fruit or to become submitted to Him. To be attached to one's merits or good actions, sacrifices, is an obstacle in spiritual progress. So good should be done and the results should be surrendered to God or thrown away to the universe to be used for the progress of others. Even greater than surrendering is submission to Him, that is, to become a channel for His divine actions to be done through us. In surrendering, there is still an I, which exists as one who surrenders, and the surrenderer, one, is different from the one who is surrendered to. But when a person becomes a channel for his divine actions, then no separation exists, and the surrenderer, the thing being surrendered, and the one being surrendered to, become one. This state is called the state of renunciation, when the I and all things related to it are no more. With this, the highest spiritual realization is achieved. In this regard, Prophet Muhammad can be viewed as the last prophet, because with him the spiritual understanding ended. With the truths which had come before, Far East philosophies, Judaism and Christianity and Islam, the spiritual truth was finished. However, to become perfect and free from bondage and narrowness of the mind, it is necessary to become a universalist and dynamic spiritualist or paravipra, so we might then reach pure consciousness. These last three seals are the three steps to freedom from bondage, individually and collectively, physically, mentally, and spiritually. The best religion is one in which you are surrendered and submissive to the purpose of the Lord, while at the same time are helping others to reach their goal. What was the tradition of Abraham? He was submitted to the will of the Lord. So being submitted is the greatest achievement for a spiritualist. When you feel to do something from the heart, then do it. That will come from love and complete submission. Remember that you are just a pure channel for Him, and whatever is done, you will do it. You just flow with all you do. So it is meditation all the time. You do not have to sit and close your eyes because you always know that you are not the doer. See, as long as you think that you are the doer, God is the enjoyer. God sits back and says, look at this child. He thinks that he is the doer. It is my energy. I created him in the womb of his mother. I made a small tiny cell to grow in the mother's womb. I created the mother's body. Such a wonderful creation, a creation which responds to all these hormones which work according to God's laws. The mother does not have any control. Who has control? Who does these things? God does. The body is just a machine. And then the child comes forth and the mother says, oh, that is my child. He is not your child. That was all planned from the beginning. The moment the child comes, the milk starts flowing. How did she plan that? The mother did not plan it. God did. Whenever we do something, we say we are the people who are doing this. And then God enjoys. He just laughs. He says, just look at them. They think that they are the doers. However, if the woman says, yes, God, I know I'm not the doer, you are the doer, she then becomes the enjoyer. God becomes the doer. Then she becomes the observer. She sits back and lets him do it according to his will. The sign of Islam falls into submission and surrendering. Being submissive all the time is a very hard thing to do. That is why the best time to remember to be surrendered to God is when you become attached to the result of your action. You say, well, God, I am being attached to the result of my action. Please take all these results. I do not want them. Then I can be free. So we should practice letting Him do the actions through us and realize that the greatest happiness and freedom comes when we allow our bodies to be tools for His divine actions. With this ideation and devotion to Him, we will dissolve our false egos and will not be bound by the reaction of our divine actions, because He is the doer, not us. However, a person is responsible for his own egoistical actions. Like many other words in spirituality, surrendering has been misunderstood. Many people say they are surrendered to the will of God, so they do not have to be worried about anything. As long as they are surrendered, everything will be all right. This interpretation of surrendering will lead to escapism and is no better than believing that this world is illusion or in an all-powerful Messiah who will do it all for us instead of God. Surrendering does not mean that I sit there and do nothing and say, inshallah, if God wills. But I do not do anything about it. I am not going to put any effort on it. I'm just going to say, well, God is going to take care of it. That is surrendering from ignorance. Actually, there is a word in Islamic tradition that says, you move and God blesses you, or God gives you bread, something like that. So without your movement, you do not receive any bread. That means you have to make an effort before God blesses you. God gives you your share of the universe. God created intelligence, the brain, hands, feet, body, eyes, and all the necessary faculties for man so that he is independent and able to manage his own life. Man should use this perfect body to progress in all aspects of life and fight vigorously to overcome all opposing forces. So God does not love those who escape from life. However, God created this universe for a great purpose, to bring all to perfection. In doing so, each individual should purify the self and overcome his lower nature, establishment of the kingdom of heaven within. Also, he should help others to understand the goal of life and guide them toward it, and participate in establishing an environment that enables all to progress and reach the goal, establishing the kingdom of heaven without. I will stop the reading here. Salam, everyone.